Blog Talk Radio.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, when you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, bring out the rain, don't stop the tide. Be happy again.
One bite at a time. We are Serve New England, the smart alternative to food shopping. Find us on the web at www.servenewengland.org.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart. To the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Well, hello. Good morning, everyone. It's Sunday, March 7th, and this is Dr. Shirley Kenneth, General Manager of WSCIRO. That stands for Christian Internet Radio Outreach, a Greater Boston. And I'm here with my husband, the other General Manager, Dr. Jeffrey Kenneth. And we're in the season of Lent, and you know, the common theme that is always emphasized during the season of Lent is forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoration, okay? And these all lead to transformation, and we visit these themes from time to time because that is the essence of our Christian walk, but it's much more emphasized during this season of Lent, and it's just so Lord's way of moving through, you know, the church community, through fellowship, about, you know how, these wonderful gifts can actually, we always have to always endeavor to have them become part of our lives. We always have to be aware of the process that's going on inside of us, because once we see the Holy Spirit, you know, he brings us into all truth, and he is the witness of our baptism. And so as we say yes to him and resign our free will to him, although he's a respecter of our free will, but when it is in line with the will of the Father, wonderful things can begin to happen in our soul, and wonderful things begin to happen as we become more ruled by our spirit man, as our spirit man grows, okay? So, as our soul and our spirit, as the soul matures to the spiritual maturity, based on the, based on how much we allow the Holy Spirit to bring us into truth, the truth of who we are, and it's a work in relationship, okay? So, most of the time, what happens, what interferes with this process is the fact that instead of paying attention to what the Lord is doing in the moment, we can oftentimes, because of our own weakness of the flesh, look back to the junk, the stuff that we've come out of. There's things in that points us to where we need to go in the Holy Ghost. But once we're there, wherever there is, in whatever season of life the Lord graces us to live out, okay, we need to grow into that in that trust, put our trust in the Lord, to not look back, because the past, evidently there was issues there that, you know, caused us to maybe bear some unnecessary crosses. And at the same time, the Lord uses all things, you know, for His glory. And so the Lord, you know, in this now word, in this now time of our lives, wants to emphasize to His people the spiritual significance, and He wants to teach us what happens when we do look back, when we lose faith, when we lose, you know, and our walk, you know, our trust walk with Him is weak. What happens when we allow, you know, when we give in to the pressures of the enemy, to the pressures of our own soul, because it's not always the enemy. It's you know, the pressures of the flesh, as the world puts pressure on us to in our walk, you know, and through temptations of the flesh, through temptations of greed and all those things that can really pull us away from the destiny that the Lord, you know, is calling us to on our journey, you know, and that's why we name it Faith, Power, Fight, Prayer, because we're all on a journey, and there's different seasons in our journey, you know, and there's one road, one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus, and He sends His Holy Spirit as our teacher to bring it, which is His Spirit, moving, you know, through baptized believers on the earth to bring us into that place of truth, okay? So, so we're going to look at, you know, today about significance of not looking back to our past mistakes and failures. And we're going to examine, okay, in greater detail, the gift of reconciliation, both as it pertains to the gift of forgiveness. And then we're going to look at why we shouldn't look back to the past, like I just said earlier, but and why it's very beneficial to us to desire to look forward to the present. Okay, so, you know, later on in this broadcast, I will be sharing with my friends here on Facebook and YouTube and Blog Talk Radio and Blog TV a dream that the Lord had given me. It was a dream vision, very short dream vision that He had given me prior to watching the King Clement live from a den internet broadcast that He does on Saturdays and Sundays from wherever the Lord has him ministering to. Sometimes it's den, and other times it's the places that have invited him to minister. Because, you know, what I put in my heart that, you know, after I had a dream vision, you know, that I was going to get my answer from the ministry that he poured out in King Clement. So my husband just came into the studio just now, and he's going to join me in a second, and in prayer, he's gonna offer this broadcast up in prayer, because we always want to be directed by the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. And without Jesus and His gift of the Holy Spirit, which is our you know, the Holy Spirit's He's our comforter, you know, and we are wedded to Him. We are in that bridal relationship with Him. Every believer should understand this, and the Lord will bring you to all truth. If you don't, to the Holy Spirit, we need to, you know all aspects of our relationship with Him. So, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the mic to my husband, and he's going to call upon the direction of the Holy Spirit that was sent to us from God, our Father. He's going to consult with Dad. Okay. Here he is.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Son. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Holy Spirit, we just ask that we surrender our hearts and our minds and our souls to you, and that you will come and dwell in us. Guide us, lead us, move us forward, Lord. Move us forward in grace. Move us forward in mercy. Move us forward in love. Love, which is your nature. Lead us deeper into the likeness of your nature through Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, who gives us the power to achieve that in cooperation with the divine grace and mercy that has been outpoured to us through Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glorify your name among the people listening. Glorify your name. Transform them. Heal them. Deliver them. Set them free of all affliction, Lord, that your glory may be revealed, that your mercy may be shown, that your grace may be demonstrated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Amen. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. Well, we are, I just want to say before we go further into this teaching, I want to ask the Lord to just bless the patients that we were able to, we are very privileged to be able to minister today, especially the gift of communion, Holy Communion, to the patients that were assigned to us at the New England Sinai Hospital here in Stoughton. Lord, I just ask a special hand of blessing upon them, and Lord, that you would heal them in ways that they could never, ever imagine. Embody mind, soul, spirit, will, and emotion, and bring them great peace. Give them the consolation of your peace from heaven. Thank you, and may it just envelop the whole entire being, and that they would never be the same again. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're about ready to do in their lives. And I also want to say a hi and a big God bless you to our wonderful students from SEEK International Leadership School, a Christian Multimedia Ministry, as well as the members that just became members of our new online web church health fellowship known as SEEK Christian Teaching and Worship Center at mychurch.org. And so I just want to thank them and ask the Lord for a special blessing for them as well. Amen. And from time to time, we will be having, like you heard the other night, we will be having students from our school on. One of the prerequisites, I should say requirements, for the elective part of our school is that they, because it is a multimedia school, that they will they will have to from time to time. I'm thinking it's probably going to be one or two times. Some would probably want to do it more than two times, and that could be for extra credit. But they would come on and either be a guest, and we talk, and pray on a certain spiritual topic that would bless everyone, or they to have an anointed teaching from the Lord themselves, and they feel confident enough to, do the whole show. That's what we will do, and we will grade them for it. We will grade them. We'll give them the credit, but we will grade them based on, their participation on the radio platform, internet radio platform, and more or less they will, be looking at themselves, afterwards about how they presented what was going on in their life at the time, and if they were open and really true to what the Lord, the message of God has poured upon their heart. And what can they do make them more sensitive to the Holy Spirit? So these are the things that we emphasize in our school and ministry. We really want people to be connected to the Holy Spirit, the relationship, but also at the same time be open in how the Holy Spirit wants to work in their lives in relation to the season that they are in their life. So it's very, very, very important to know the season that you are in because if you don't know the season that you're in, the confusion can set in. We're always going through transition. Transition is part of the growth experience in the spirit. And if we don't know what season that we are in, and we're not open to how the Lord wants to move in our lives and in those around us, we could get lost. And then that's when we begin to look back. So. That's why the title of this is Faith Talk by Prayer and Don't Look Back is the topic. So I'm going to be reading from the book of Genesis, specifically chapter 18 and 19, where the Lord, after a visitation to Sarah and Abraham about, you know, the birth of their son Isaac in a year from then, after the Lord sends, you know, the angels to talk to them about it, and, you know, of course they recognize it was him all the time, that then he begins to share with Abraham what his plans are, you know, for the nation of Sodom and Gomorrah. So I'm paraphrasing this because they're, you know, I don't want to talk more about the actual sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, but I want to talk more about the significance of when the Lord told Lot's wife not to look back, and she did. Lot is a brother of Abraham? A nephew of Abraham, and when they the Lord had revealed to Abraham his plans for destroying that whole region, he began to bargain with the Lord because of, you know, of his nephew, because of the presence of his nephew, and he knew his nephew lived there. And this is how we should all be when the Lord ministers to us about his plans for what he wants, you know, about the condition of mankind and what could happen. We always have to be on the side of an advocate / intercessor with the Holy Spirit to when the Holy Spirit shows us what is on the heart of mind of God concerning a particular region, or, you know, concerning the character of man, and especially as it pertains to the body of Christ. So we always have to be quick to, you know, respond to God through repentance and, you know, call for national repentance, an individual first, if that individually first, especially, you know, whatever, you know, pertaining to the particular subject at hand, and implore other intercessors to pray, not to gossip, but to pray. And we also have to be in constant prayer, you know, so that we can really can please on behalf of the people, because the Lord, you know, wants, he desires for all people to be saved, and he has a certain plan and timetable as to when Jesus is coming back to the earth. But, you know, this could either, you know, because of our own carelessness and our own prayerlessness and our own lack of love, when we're not walking in all those virtues, what will happen is, you know, the confusion come in there, chaos can come in there, and so what the, you know, our own journey here on the earth, God's will always be done, but it's up to us as to, you know, how smooth of a transition it will be, you know, when the Son of Man comes back to the earth. You know, and it says over and over again in the scriptures in the New Testament, you know, there's all these things to be carrying on, but the bottom line is what. It's just, you know, what's significant is what will we each person be doing when the Lord finally comes back. So he puts it on us, he puts responsibility on us, you know, and it's up to us to comply with the dictates of the kingdom through the Holy Spirit and do what he tells us to do. Like Mary said to the disciples of Jesus before the first miracle in Cana, which marked the first miracle of Jesus' mission and Jesus' ministry, before that happened, you know. So we have to know what season we are. We have to know, and we also have to comply. We also have to comply with the dictates of heaven as it pertains to our individual lives here on the earth, because each one of us affects the other. So I'm going to go to Genesis 18, all right. We have about 39 minutes. But this is going to be a very short, it's going to be a shorter broadcast than the others. I wanted to go into the eagles because we really talked about that in the last broadcast. But this was so significant because of the season in which we are in the body of Christ is in, and the fact that the Lord began to move powerfully through King Command, one of his generals, okay? It was shortly after he gave me this dream vision, within a half an hour time span. So, Dr. Jeff, if you feel called to comment on anything, just tap me on the shoulder, and I'll be glad to give you the mic. But I'm going to be reading from Genesis 18 and then 19. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Genesis 18, 16 through, and then through Genesis 19. Okay. Again, I'm just going to emphasize setting up the scene here, and we're going to then focus on the disobedience of Lot's wife, okay? Not in the condemnation, but in the way to teach people what is happening. And I'll share with you my dream during that time. Okay, so let's look at Genesis 18. We'll start at verse 16. Abraham pleads for Sodom, okay? When the men got up to leave, and they left, and this is when these three men, who was actually the Lord, left after a meeting with Sarah and Abraham, as they disclosed the promise that was going to be given, that in their childless years, they were actually going to bear a son, okay? His name was going to be Isaac. It says, when the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on the earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him, which is the nations. Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and the sin is so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. The man turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the unrighteous? He was at this point thinking about his nephew Lot and his family. What if they are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you, will not the judge of all the earth do right? The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up again, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people? If I find 45 there, he said, I will not destroy it. Once again, he spoke to him, what if only 40 are found there? He said, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there? He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just one more time. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of the 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. Okay, now this is Genesis 19. All right. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening. And I wanted to just add, just think in your mind, what was Abraham doing after that initial meeting with the Lord, after he interceded unto the Lord about the condition of Sodom and Gomorrah and how, and why he was going to destroy it, and what the final outcome was, and, as he was asking him certain questions in this form of intercession. What do you think he did? Just keep this in your mind. I think, to be honest with you, I believe he continued on in prayer while he was in that place of waiting and, holding his ground and just put his complete trust in the Lord, but still was interceding on behalf of the people while the Lord had to go do what he said he would do. Okay? Just keep that in mind, all right? The angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning." "No," they answered, "we will spend the night in the square." But he insisted so strongly, this is Lot, Abraham's nephew, but he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate it. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out so that we can have our way with them. Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters. They have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you." He was bargaining with them like a man should on a fleshly level. And wanted to insert that. "Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof." "Get out of our way," they replied. And they said, "This fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot, and this is the pressure of the world, and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you?" Because he recognized the righteousness. These angels set by the Lord to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah recognized the righteousness of Lot. Okay? So they realize that they need to protect him and his family. All right, so get them out of here because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against his people was so great that he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of the dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." See, now the would-be sons-in-laws who were pledged to his daughters, they did not believe what the Lord was telling Lot. And this is how it is for many of our family relations. They don't believe when a believer in the family can hear from the Lord. And we need to pray for their against the spirit of unbelief, and that we have to pray for belief, that they would also receive. Okay. All right. Okay. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand, this is Lot now, and the hands of his wife, and of his two daughters, and led them safely out of the city. for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they brought them out, one of them said, flee for your life. Don't look back. And don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. Again, this is for a couple of people that are listening to this. Okay. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your life. Don't look back. And don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. I'm going to say it one more time. As soon as they brought them out, one of them said, flee for your life. Don't look back. And don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. And there's many of you right now that, you know, and you're holding each other in the bondage. I'm talking to the believers right now that, you know, you see how some people have come out of darkness, you know, and they're walking in their walk. But instead of praying for them, you're squawking. You're praying for them. Instead of praying for them that the Lord will just continue to strengthen them, okay, you're squawking. You're complaining about, you know, the choices they're making. Well, maybe they're making these choices in weakness, and they still need to that extra dose of prayer to get to the place where God wants them. Okay, you got to stop talking and stop squawking and start praying. Okay, and so, you know, they look back and everybody says, see, they look back, you know, or let's just say that you were walking with the Lord and somebody somehow a situation distracted you, treated you back into the past. Next thing you know, you're in the past, okay, and your heart gets hardened and everything, and, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, if you were in ministry, the ministry kind of goes by the wayside because you didn't put your hope and trust in God. You didn't believe God for, you know, bettering your life because you got distracted. You went back to the past. You froze. Fear crept in on in there. What the Lord is saying right now, he's saying to you, he's saying to all people from different walks of life that, you know, that have come to faith. He's saying right now, oh, what is he saying? He said, all right, flee for your lives. You know, and that means flee. Don't look back. Don't look back to your negative thinking. Don't look back to your negative perspectives. Don't look back to unforgiveness. Don't look back to, you know, keep constantly loathing over your sin. You don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plane of life. Flee to the mountains. Flee to the mountain of worship or you will be swept away by the enemy, by the spirit of this world. Okay? So, all right, didn't mean to get off that tangent, but God, the Lord was really honing in on this in the spirit, okay? But Lot said to them, no, my lords, please, your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me and spared my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared. He said to him, very well. I will grant this request to you. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it. That is why the town is called Zaor. By the time Lot reached Zaor, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Okay? So, you know, early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham. And he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. And that's how we have to be, always prostrate before the Lord as intercessors, because when we intercede with a transformed heart. We intercede on behalf of others. The Lord has no other recourse but to hear us. And as he hears us, he meets out his mercy. Okay, so I just wanted, I really felt like a hint. A lot of people that listen to this broadcast on a regular basis needed to hear this. We should leave the judgment to the Lord, but we can also plead on behalf of mankind. We should always be doing this. And anyways, I had a dream vision last night. It was only like a 5-minute dream vision. And I thought it was just quite odd. But knowing the symbols of dreams, I was able to interpret it to a certain point. But then the Lord used King Clement and his ministry to bring it around, you know, to put his finger on it, to emphasize it even more in the spirit, to highlight it. And I was traveling on a highway at night in a car. Car means ministry. The highway is life. It's a journey, okay? And I was going in one direction. And there were things happening on the side that I was aware of. Life was happening. And I was going in the right direction. But I was, you know, I was traveling at night. And, I believe that night must mean dark. It was like it was dark night, a dark night of the spirit, where people shouldn't, when they go through that, it's definitely from the Lord. But you don't use that time to make decisions. You use that time to pray. You use that time to consult the direction of the Holy Spirit, and then he'll bring you into all truth. He'll make things clearer, and usually this is a time where you actually can discern, you know, what's happening on a spiritual level. As far as spiritual warfare is concerned, and then this is where you ask the Lord to give you strategy to get to the place that he calls us to. But during that time, people panic, and what happened in this particular dream, it was like all of a sudden, I thought I got it in myself. I'm talking flesh self. Oh, I possibly cannot be going in this direction. For as I was going, forward, before this other turn of events happened, I felt like, all right, I'm going straight, but I don't know what I'm heading towards. And all this is happening on, the left and the right of me, but, the unknown, the fear of the unknown started to set in, the unknown where the Lord was bringing me. And so I panicked in the dream, and I turned the car around. And I knew when I was turning the car around that it was actually going to be going the wrong way, as other cars are headed my way. But and all of a sudden, I'm looking up and I hear, "Welcome to the dark night." And turn the car around. You're going the wrong way, and I just thought, I'm going the wrong way. And then I realized I am going the wrong way. And I woke up, okay, and so I asked the Lord the spiritual significance of it. I always ask the Lord, is this an individual thing? Or is this something that I have to teach the people, or warn the people on? And he had shown me that, at that time, he took me by the hand, and he said, put my servant Kim on. So I did, okay? And halfway through the broadcast, Kim gets this word for the Lord. The Lord is saying, many of my people, because they are, not used to, the Lord moving in the ways that he hasn't moved before, are panicking because of they're putting their trust in the Lord, and they're going along doing whatever they need to do, and because it doesn't seem familiar, that they decide it's not from the Lord, they put a judgment on it and their own self and their own spirit, and they say it's not from God, and they turn away from what God really called them to. And the Lord said, this reminded me about the dream, and I'm like, oh, my. And it's fear. It's fear of the unknown. It's fear of man, fear of what others may think. It's also the uncertainty. But, you know, the Lord, when the Lord is guiding you, okay, into all truth through the Holy Spirit, you can rest assured, you know, he's always going to bring you into a better situation. And that's what the Lord had also had downloaded to Kim, that we're always going to be called to a better place, and the next place is the best place that we've ever been, okay, the next place, and don't look in the past, or we will get hardened, okay. You know, part of our composition is that we are made of water and salt, and that equals dust, okay? And so all that scripture said in Genesis 19 was that Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And the Lord doesn't want us to die on our journey prematurely. He wants us to go forward. He wants us to go forward in the glory, and he does not want us to look back to where we came out of, but to anticipate and look forward to a marvelous and glorious future. But we got to remain with him in the present. In the present, we have to trust of what, you know, he's doing in us in the present and how he's preparing us for our future in the present. Okay, because that's the place that he meets us, in the present. Okay. He's not in the past. He knows about our past because we made him aware of it, and he already knew it before we made him aware of it. And, you know, but yet he ministers to us in the microphone. I look at it as the microphone of the present, you know. You know, like, the, you know, it picks up, you know, this microphone of the present picks up all sound waves. It picks up life around us and in us and through us, and that's the only way that we can experience the Lord through the present. That's the only way we can call upon him, is in the present, and things like that. The present is the place where the voice is, his voice and our voice. Our voice meets his voice, see, and things like that. And, you know, in the present, we get our instructions for the future. So if we look back, it's like it erases. It's almost like an eraser. Like if you notice that when you have in the days where we had cassette plays, what will happen is that, oh, you know, we want to go back to what we listened to previously, so we can rewind the tape. But if you hit in these former cassette players, if you hit rewind and record, I think, or if you hit those two things by an accident, or record by an accident, if you hit record by an accident, you're hitting record, and you're already going, you know, back, and you're erasing the past, and there's really nothing to go back to, you see. So, you know, we always have to look forward to the future, but we have to be in the past in order to get our instructions and our strategy, because there's things in our present that if we don't look at it, God cannot move in the future, you know, to bring us to that other place, because there's things that we have to deal with the Holy Spirit, you know, in the present moment. And he'll give us the tools. He'll give us the strategies in the present. Okay? So I just thought I'd share that with you. And I just want to we have about 15 minutes left. But I believe that the Lord really wanted to emphasize this today, especially during this season of Lent, and it's just really remarkable how much he loves his people. So, Lord, I just ask you to continually lavish upon your people your love from the kingdom of heaven, for it's your love that has the power to change lives and to change the atmosphere through the Holy Spirit. And, of course, it's our obedience to your love working within us here upon the earth individually that would facilitate the progress of mankind towards a greater transformation, both corporately and individually. We thank you. Come, Holy Spirit, continue to do your work in us. And, Lord, take away all distractions from your people. Let your people be open to trust you in their transformation, for a greater transformation in you, so we can be more like Jesus. We can look more like Jesus. We can act more like Jesus. through the person of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just want to just lift up Benny Hinn and Suzanne in their trial. And Lord, we just believe that you are going to work all things out because, you know, for their good, because they love you so much. Lord, they may not be seeing eye to eye on things, but you are their Lord, and you have been very faithful to them, and you will continue to be faithful to them. And we thank you, Lord, and please raise up the right intercessors for them, and Lord, keep the naysayers away, and tie in mind and break any scandalous spirits out there that, you know, want to devour both Benny and Suzanne in this most precious hour of need. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just keep your, first of all, we plead the blood of Jesus over their lives and over their marriage. We also ask that you keep your hand of protection over their lives so that it would not be exploited. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, bring the right counselors their way. Lord, and we ask that you would just clear the lines of communication between them and you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. And bring them into a greater glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Well, we reached the end of the show here, and we're going to say a big God bless you, and we'll be doing these kinds of teachings from time to time. But the next thing that we're going to emphasize, hopefully on the next show, I'm going to go into more detail about the significance of the eagles and how the Lord uses the eagles as a prophetic parallel. We'll look more into a teaching that the Lord had given me through dream vision regarding the significance of the four living creatures. One of them happens to be an eagle. And so we're going to look into metaphorically what these symbols mean and how the Lord uses these symbols in the context of our Christian walk with Him, our prophetic walk with Him. Amen. Okay, God bless you, and I love you, and thank you for listening to Faith Talks Live Prayer Topic. Don't look back, but look ahead. God bless you.
New England, the smart alternative to food shopping. Find us on the web at www.servenewengland.org. Are you a college student interested in volunteering for a community organization that provides low-cost groceries to families? We are Serve New England, a nonprofit food cooperative bringing high-quality, low-cost food items to residents of New England since 1991. We're looking for caring, community-minded volunteers. Contact us at Serve New England, www.servenewengland.org.
My King, my Lord, and my life.